This is Living the RV Dream with me, Traveling Robert, episode number 16 for June 7, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers! Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. We thank them so much for their support, especially now, because going forward, I am no longer going to have that day job in downtown Miami I used to have. Yeah, no more of that messy traffic every morning and every evening. And that means that I'm going to dedicate a lot more time to the podcast and the YouTube channel, which are really my passions, the things that I really, really like to do. And the idea is to make it work. So this, in a way, becomes my main source of income. I mean, I make some money on the YouTube channel from Google AdSense, and I have the sponsorship with Rad Power Bikes. I also have my music. And as long as we have our Sticks and Bricks home here in Miami, I'm going to keep the recording studio, which doesn't really produce that much at the time. But and then again, I haven't had much time until now. I get the occasional work here and there. And it is good to have it. That's where I'm recording the podcast, of course, and also the voiceovers for all the videos. And this is where I compose all the music for all the videos. And since I compose all that music, I have quite a bit of a catalog by now, over 30 tracks. And I do get a percentage of the online sales and the streams, which, to be honest about it, is not all that much, but it all adds up. You know, every bit helps. I also have the physical CDs for sale, and I have a double set with has 30 tunes, and that has been selling pretty well. You can get yours at freeinmyrv.com if you want to get that one. That forwards to a page where you can choose to get the CD for $12.99, or a sticker for $5, or a CD and a sticker combo, which is $14.99 for both. Multiple sources of income. That's something I learned from John Huggins, which, by the way, I think I have neglected to mention in the past. You know, the Living the RV Dream website, which is pretty much the Bible, you know, the one go-to place for all information about RVs, RVing, how-tos, the lifestyle. And the definitive book, of course, is So You Want to Be an RVer by John and Kathy Huggins. A much must read for sure. Maybe one of these days I'll write a book too. Who knows? Anyways, that's the story. And in a previous episode, one of you suggested that I start interviewing some other RVers, some van dwellers. So now that I have the time, I'm going to start doing that. And also, I plan to on the YouTube channel, I plan to start posting more often, more videos. I have a lot of old videos that people have never seen, and I'm thinking maybe I'll do a throwback Thursday, and every Thursday I'll post a video. I'm also thinking maybe on Tuesdays I'll do a cooking show, because I like to cook, and it comes out pretty well. People have been asking about Cuban cuisine recipes, and to be honest about it, I don't really cook with recipes. When I learn a recipe, I learn it the first time. And then I start modifying it every time. I'm pretty instinctive when it comes to that. And it actually never comes out the same twice. But for the cooking show, I might make an exception. And I'm also thinking of doing like a live video on Friday afternoons or on Saturday afternoons. I don't know, maybe on Fridays. And I was thinking of calling it the happy hour. And it will be like a live video where you guys and I can chat. You can ask questions. And that will be on YouTube, of course. Maybe I'll do it on Facebook also sometimes. But those are the ideas that I have in my head for the future. for the immediate future of the podcast, which, by the way, as you know, is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, which they are an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful, premium electric bikes. And because they sell directly to you, the consumer, you won't see that large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, ensuring you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. Excuse me. Anyway, visit Rad Power Bikes or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models or to place an order. And they are offering free shipping in all four models. So that's great. And I can't wait to get my hands on one of those. And when I do, I will give you a first-hand report, of course. And I'll probably do a video too. Anyways, let me tell you what we did last weekend. It was 4th of July weekend. So, by the way, I didn't mention it on the previous episode, but happy belated Canada Day to our Canadian neighbors on the north. They celebrated their 150th anniversary of Canada, and that was July 1st. And then on July 4th, of course, we had our birthday, United States of America, the Independence Day. And we spent the weekend right before 4th of July. We spent it at West Palm Beach and also Palm Beach, which is the barrier island where the beach is at, actually. And we stayed at the Lion Country Safari KOA, which is, by the way, a very, very well-maintained campground. We liked it a lot, even though we didn't really take advantage of all the amenities. But we just walked around and it has a nice pool. You know, the laundry room looked impeccably clean and very large. The bathrooms were clean. And actually, the campground was mostly empty. But they have a nice convenience store. You know, like all KOAs pretty much have a nice convenience store. That's like a signature thing. They had Funky Buddha beer, one of my favorites, and it was actually mostly empty, which is actually, I thought it was surprising. It was kind of weird for a holiday weekend for the campground to be empty. I mean, it is the low season in Florida, but 2 years ago we were in the Keys in Fiesta Key, and the place was packed. It was more of the Keys is more of a party atmosphere. I understand that people go with their boats. A lot of Miami people go down to the Keys in the summer. On the weekends, especially on the long weekends for partying. The Keys are much more laid back on the weekends during the winter, if that makes sense. But then during the summer, it's less people, but more people like on these holiday weekends. I don't think I expressed myself very well there, but anyways. And in this Lion Country Safari, of course, we did the safari. And that safari really never gets old. This is really, really cool because you drive around your car, you know, and the animals are loose. So they tell you do not open your windows because, you know, they have very curious ostriches, for example, and they try to bite you through the car window. They don't damage the car or do anything like that, but it's very funny. You're going to see it in the video. I'm going to post that video, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And the rhinoceros are also, they can also get pretty close and personal with your car. At one point, one got a little too close and I just, you know, I accelerated, just moved out of the way because he was coming straight towards us. And anyways, they also have lions, of course, which is the main event, but the lions are behind the fence. I don't know, I recall the first time I went there was in 1990. And if memory serves, the lions were not behind the fence. But ever since the two times that I've been to the Lion Country Safari, ever since they have been, you know, caged in a sense. Maybe there was an accident. You know, there's always that idiot that opens the window or gets out of the car because, you know, we're human. Anyways. The best time to go to this safari is the first thing in the morning when it's not so hot. And when it's not so hot, the animals are out and about. Then when in the middle of the day, they go under the trees and under some sheds that they have for that very reason. And it is July in Florida. You know, it gets scorchingly hot, if that's even a word, here during the summer. It feels like 100 degrees. And so the safari opens at 9:30 a.m. and in my opinion, that is the best time to go because they are also feeding the animals at that time. So the lions are out and about eating, and it's pretty cool. Also, the campground is right next to the safari area. So at night, not so much, but during the day, we could hear the lions roar. And that was pretty cool. Actually, sometimes I wonder if they were just loudspeakers, but in theory, according to what they tell you, it's the actual lions roaring. And then at night, we didn't really hear them because our air conditioning is pretty loud. You know, we have one of those roof units, non-ducted, the Dometic Penguin, whatever, 13,500 BTU. And they're pretty loud, and they don't stop. They just, the compressor kicks in on and off, but the fan doesn't, and that's the loudest part. Anyways, on the first day that we were there, we were not feeling very well. I wasn't feeling very well, so we didn't do much. We just chilled at the campground. We did go have dinner at this restaurant, by the way, very close. It's called Romeo's. Very nice. A little pricey, but what isn't nowadays if you want to have a nice dinner, you know, with wine and stuff. And they have like a prefix menu, which just wasn't so bad, with an appetizer, a salad. I'm sorry, my throat is killing me. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm getting old. By the way, tomorrow is my birthday, so that's they have the. I was talking about. They had the prefix menu with the appetizer, salad, the entree, and the dessert, and it was like $25 plus the bottle of wine that we drank, 25 each. So we made a date out of it. We had a good time. And this was located in the city of Wellington, which is not far from the campground. On the next day, we decided to explore the West Palm Beach area, which is a little bit of a drive from Lion Country Safari, about half an hour, maybe a little more. Lion Country Safari is located way inland. I mean, it's almost halfway to Lake Okeechobee. You know, it's almost at the halfway point between the coast and Lake Okeechobee. So, and many people here by email and in the YouTube channel had recommended that I visited Peanuts Island, which is actually a little further north. You know, it's by Riviera Beach. It's actually a man-made island. It was made when they made the Palm Beach Inlet, or it's also called the Lake Worth Inlet because it used to be a lake, freshwater lake, and they made the inlet, and yeah, now it's salt water. But they have a shuttle boat that takes you to the island from Riviera Beach. And there's a bunch of things to do in this island. We only had a couple of hours, but there's a bunch of things to do. It's mainly a beach location for the locals. I think most of the people were locals, people from England. And they have the beach, there's camping, there's snorkeling, there's fishing. Very, very cool. But the main reason we came here is because this is a site of a Cold War era bunker made for Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I'm a little bit of a Cold War era history buff. You know, I lived through it on the other side of the Iron Curtain. So, it's all very interesting to me. The site is at the moment managed by the Maritime Museum of Palm Beach, but according to the guide, it is going to change later this year. And there are these three main structures. The first one is structures. The first one is the boathouse, and where they have a shop and a bunch of artifacts, and that's where you buy your ticket, by the way. Before I go any further, the shuttle boat per person was $12 to get to the island, and the tour of the bunker is $16, but if you take the boat, they give you a $1 discount, so it's actually $15. I don't know how that works, because the only way to get to the island is by boat. Unless you go in your own private boat, I guess. And there's a tour every half an hour or so, and the tour will explain that the boathouse, you know, it was like a, I don't know how to say, it was like a hangar or a parking lot for the boats, and they had these rails where the boats would be dropped into the water. It's really quite fascinating. And the tour also includes the Coast Guard station and the bunker. By the way, they built the bunker just in 2 weeks during the missile crisis, I believe. So, you know, when the government wants to do something fast, they can work really fast. I don't know why it takes so long to do some other things. But anyways, the Coast Guard station, everything is pretty much in disrepair. And many of the artifacts that they have, which are really cool, you know, things that the Coast Guard has used over the decades, they have them for sale. Even have a very cool jukebox, like an old jukebox. They had it for sale for $750. And the building is falling apart. They have like termites problems. And actually, the county is taking over in November, and no one really knows exactly what is going to happen. And the boathouse is almost certainly going to be demolished or moved because they want to widen the waterway, you know, the channel, into the port of West Palm Beach. The Coast Guard station will probably remain in disrepair. I mean, they don't know. The guy didn't know. All he knew that he's a volunteer, he's retired, and all he knew that he's out of a job when this happens. So, he said that the bunker, because of its historic relevance, will probably remain in the same place as a tourist attraction. And that was a really good, cool place to visit. By the way, the bunker, they couldn't build it underground because of the water table here in Florida is so high. So they built like a mound, you know, like a little hill on top of the thing, you know. It was lead and steel, and it had its own air circulation system and its own generator and all that. It was very nice. I'll put a picture in the show notes, which, by the way, the show notes are in iTunes and all that, but if you want to see them with pictures and links and everything, just go to travelingrobert.com/, the one that looks like a going up the hill, /podcast/0016, because this is episode 16, sweet 16. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 16. That means we've been doing this for what, 4 weeks? For 4 months, actually. Well, time flies when you're having fun. Anyways, after all this, I mean, it was too hot. I really wanted to explore the rest of the island, but it was too hot. I mean, we were sweating profusely. We forgot to bring water, and we bought a bottle of water at the store, but still, we wanted to go back to some. We were also hungry, so we returned to the mainland and decided to look for a place to eat in West Palm Beach. And it's Palm Beach, everything is going to be a little on the pricey side, but hey, we're here, let's live it up, right? So we found this place online with a great ratings. It's called Avocado Grill. We parked in downtown, by the way, $10.50 for 2 hours, which ain't cheap. And this place turned out to be a little more trendy than we were expecting. You know, they had the loud house music, and they had dancers in animal costumes dancing on top of the bar. And you know, you could see that, you could tell that the cream of the crop of West Palm Beach was there hanging out. It was lunchtime. It was like 1 or 2 p.m. and the place was packed. The food was very good, by the way. We opted for the small plates, and we had like some tacos and some sliders, and they were like $12 each. So yeah, the food, yeah, what can I tell you? It was like $80 plus tax plus tip, because we also had some beers. They had some Cigar City IPA, you know, and ever since I visited Tampa, that's one of my favorite beers. And yeah, let's face it, where else can you see a lion and a bear dancing on top of a bar? And they also had a conga player and a very talented trombone playing player, and they were playing over the house music tracks, and it was very you after a while you get used to the loud music, and you get into the vibe, if you will. Very, very, very cool. From here, we decided to go visit one of the most iconic buildings in Palm Beach. I'm sure you've heard of it, the Breakers Hotel. And the original wooden structure was actually built by Henry Flagler himself. I mean, not with his own hands, but he financed the thing. And it was the Palm Beach Inn back then, back in 1896. And it burned to the ground twice. And the current iconic building that has the two towers dates back only to 1926. We spent about an hour, you know, snooping around the hotel a little bit. We snook into one of the ballrooms, and we were even planning on going to one of the bars, but we felt a little underdressed, so we didn't. Besides, we already had 2 beers in us. And we just walked around the back, checked out the beach. Actually, the beach is divided into like these little coves by these breakers, and I guess that's where the name, the breakers, comes from. I don't know. And we were going to go by the pool, but we decided against it, you know. After a while, we said, let's continue exploring. And we went on the on Ocean Boulevard, and we explored all this lavish oceanfront residential neighborhood all the way to the northernmost tip of Palm Beach. And they have this park called, most appropriately, the end of the island. And it's kind of private, you know. There's nowhere to park anywhere around here unless you're going to a house. But we still stopped for a second to see who I was. You could see the inlet, you could see Pinot Island, and there were even some people literally snorkeling in their backyards. That was interesting to see. All these beaches are private, you know, in this area. So you have all these mansions on one side of the road, and then another structure. Like sometimes even the swimming pool is on the other side of the road on the ocean side. Very, very exclusive. Kind of looks like the same layout as we saw in around Jensen Beach, you know, because all the houses on the coast, in England side, and then on the inland side of the road, and then on the other side of the road you had piers and stuff like that. But this was way, way more over the top. I mean, really, really, really lavish mansions, and everything very well maintained in this area. You can tell there's a lot of money here. Well, eventually we drove back south and around the famous, I'm sure you've heard of it, the Mar-a-Lago Club, you know, where Donald Trump hangs out a lot when he's in Florida. And of course, we caught a glimpse of two demonstrations. One of them was pro-Trump and the other one against Trump. So there you go. Fair and balanced. No comment. And then we went back to the campground, and it was a fun, action-packed day. And if you want to see it, the video will be up on Sunday, July 9th, on my YouTube channel. And with that, I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to cut it a little short today, to be honest about it. It's been a crazy 2 weeks, but now I'm going to have a lot more time to produce the podcast. I might even go up to a 1 hour podcast if I have enough material. So I would appreciate if you guys have any suggestions, anything you would like me to talk about. If you can send me an email, troubled. I am very troubled. Robert@travelingrobert.com, or you can go to travelingrobert.com, to the website, any page of the website. There's a link on the top right that says send voicemail, and you can send me a voicemail that I can play here on the air, in the virtual air of the ether of the internet. I'm going to leave you with a song that's actually my latest song that I came up with the other day. It's not a song, it's an instrumental, and I had the opportunity to work with my friend Jesus Jorge, aka Chuchi, and he also played on my track for New Orleans. So we've worked together for many, many years, so at least 20 years we've known each other. And I'm calling this track tentatively Ocean Breeze. Ocean Breeze with my friend Chuchi. Enjoy. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road. Oh, I almost forgot. Reno Viola. Don't forget, we are being syndicated on the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio Network, so you can download the free Reno Viola Outdoors Radio app on your smartphone, or visit wrvoradio.com online to see the lineup and the schedule. I believe we are on Thursdays, and that's the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Enjoy the great outdoors. And I'll put a link to them also on the show notes. Bye now.